Too many times folks, though, are running around trying to find guidance through men or through some so-called prophet. Now, thank God there is the prophet's ministry. Don't misunderstand me at all. Doesn't do away with the real just because it's so much false stuff. Or some prophetess. I know a woman is supposed to be a prophet. Well, they call her a prophetess. This businessman that I knew is quite wealthy. I know I visited in his home, palatial home. He's got a brand new Cadillac. His wife's got a brand new Lincoln. He also has his own private plane. Both of his children, teenagers, have got brand new automobiles. One of them had a convertible, special made Cadillac. The other, I think, had a Corvette. But he got off to listening to people. And somebody told him, this woman's a prophetess. And so she's going to prophesy to him about where to invest his money. Lost everything he had. I saw him. I thank God he's recovered to some extent because he had some business ability. But I saw him when he was on the bottom. No, God didn't set prophets or prophetesses in the church to tell somebody how to invest their money. Oh, you listen to me. You ought to have enough sense how to invest. If you haven't got enough sense, don't invest. Find somebody who does have sense. Are you out there? Amen. But I just said that to you because I've seen more than one absolutely go bankrupt. And so many things happen. And like I said, somebody said, well, now if God says this, it must be so. But did you ever stop to read in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the 29th verse? Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Prophecies are to be judged even when the prophet spoke. They're to be judged how? Well, with us, number one, according to the word. According to the word. They're not to be accepted first without judging them. Now, if anything went on to say, be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. Prophets have revelations. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discern the spiritual operate through prophecy in their life and ministry. Others, other than prophets, might occasionally have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge go along a lot of time with the evangelist ministry. But you'd have to have a manifestation of all of them in some measure to stand in the office of the prophet. But you see, a lot of times, though we have a minister along that line, it must be judged. Just don't accept it because somebody said it. One year we were graduating from school here. Last week of school I was teaching. And so I stepped down on the platform over in the other building and a young man said, Brother Ingram, I'll speak to you, one of the students, second year students. I said, surely. He said, what do you think about this? I said, I don't know, I haven't heard it. What is it? Well, he said, I went to a meeting right here in Tulsa. And he said, Prophet so-and-so was there. He called me out and prophesied that in 6 weeks I would be in Africa, that God had called me to Africa. What do you think about it? Well, I said, first of all, who said he was a prophet? Said he did. I said, he probably isn't. If you got to go around telling people you're one, you probably ain't. If you are, they'll all find out. And if they don't find it out, you ain't. Amen. Secondly, I said, does that register? You need to judge that. You don't just accept it. Yeah, but he said, I thought it was the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, it may or may not be, but the Holy Ghost, even if he is manifested, is through imperfect beings. And it's not always a perfect manifestation. But let me ask you a question. Now see, we go right back to the inward witness. What have you got in your heart to do? God ever said anything to you about Africa? Brother Hagin, with all sincerity, he said, my wife and I prayed. We've been praying for 30 days. God spoke to us. We know exactly what he said. I said, do it. Yeah, but what am I going to do about that? I said, forget it. God didn't call you to Africa. I can tell you that myself, just talking to you. You don't have any burden, no leading, no desire. Amen. Forget it. Go ahead and do what your heart tells you. Now these things surface ever so often. I know just after World War number two, they surfed. People prophesying to one another. I know several marriages. They married because somebody prophesied to them. Not one single one of the marriages lasted. God wasn't in a one of them. Amen. I remember here, first year actually that we were out here on these grounds. We didn't have all we got now, just the administration building and half of the other auditorium. And in those days, before I made Ken vice president, executive vice president, and run everything, when I started healing school, because you can't run everything and be cutted up and minister healing. Well, then I ran everything. Well, I'm busy. I teach and then I'm busy all day. I don't have time unless God's in it for an appointment. But there's a couple came up from Texas. And my secretary said she came. This couple came and they were visiting with some of her folks who lived here in Broken Arrow. And she wanted to talk to me. I said, I just don't have time. I got so much. And so my secretary talked to her again and she said, well, I asked my friend to come with me. Somebody had prophesied in their church that he should marry another girl there in church. He is going with this. She don't think it's right. But I said to her, let's talk to Brother Hagin. Well, they're not students here, but they just came. So I was led to the Lord to talk to him, but he wouldn't come. She told me that he thought that she was going to side in with that prophecy. I said to her, let me ask you this. He in love with other girls? No, he said he's in love with me and I'm in love with him. But this prophetess, oh dear Lord, I've seen so much prophetesses prophesied that he is to marry this other girl. He said, well, I'm supposed to marry somebody that I don't even like. Oh, they're Christians, you know, and in the Lord, but I mean from the natural standpoint. I said, no, bless God, he don't need to marry her. He needs to follow his heart. You go tell him. I said, to follow the inward witness. They went and got married. Next year they came to Rhema. Graduated from Rhema out in the ministry still today. Glory to God. I don't know if I might even be here tonight. I don't know. Hallelujah. But their life could have been wrecked and ruined by listening to somebody's prophecy. Well, I admonish, one final word, I admonish individuals to be very careful about voices, personal prophecies, to be very careful about prophecies concerning guidance. And you notice this, when I minister to people, I tell them all the time, how for all these years, if that doesn't register on your heart, don't you accept it. That doesn't mean anything to you. In other words, if you don't have the witness of it in your own spirit, see, most of the time it's just a confirmation of what they already got. Then don't you accept it from me or from anybody else. Be very careful. Be very careful about personal prophecies. Now, as long as the gift prophecy speak is in the realm of edification, exhortation, and comfort, that's wonderful and that's all right. That's as far as prophecy goes. But many times, somebody who may prophesy, and ye may all prophesy, Paul said, one by one. They see a prophet minister, and they think, well, I can do that. So they get in the flesh, and they're misled. A lady said to me at one of our seminars here, from one of the surrounding towns, a little larger city, Brother Hagin said, may I ask you a question? I said, well, yes. Well, let me tell you something first. She said, now, I belong to the Episcopal Church. But about a third of our church, including our pastor, a priest, are all baptized with the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues. And we Episcopal ladies have a prayer meeting once a week. We invite anybody who wants to come. There's a few Baptist ladies come. There are two Pentecostal ladies that come. But most all of us are Episcopal. She said, I don't know why they call it a prayer meeting, because we don't do much praying. Said about all they do is prophesy to one another. Well, why didn't they call it a prophesying meeting then? Are you listening? No, if it's a prayer meeting, pray. Prophesy to one another. But she said, I always get a bad prophecy. I never get a good one. She said they prophesied that my husband was going to leave me. And now he's not a Christian, but he's a good man. We love one another, have a good home life, make a good living. He was going to leave me. I said, well, did they put any date on? Yeah, within a year he would be gone. I said, well, how long's it been? 2 years. I said, did he leave? No, I said, we're better off than we ever were. I said, that's easily judged, isn't it? That's easy to judge that one, isn't it? She said, they prophesied that my mother was going to die. Well, I said, they say when, anything? Everybody's going to die sometime if Jesus tarried. Yeah, she'd be dead because she's sort of sickly. She'd be dead in 6 months. I said, how long's that been? 12 months, a year. I said, that's easily judged. That's not God. Are you listening to me? That's what she wanted to know. Is that God? No, I said, that's not God. Most of the time, it's just people speaking out of their own hearts, don't know any better. Sometimes, it's spiritual babies playing with spiritual toys. Say amen if you can. If you can't, say oh me. Now, I left my last church, as I said to you. I left my last church 1949, went out on the field. I was in churches from 1949 through 1962, solid. And I went solid. I was gone from home 85% of the time. I only took off about a week at Christmas and a week at convention time. Now, a lot of times you understand I'm preaching close enough to home that I can stay at home and go back and forth. Amen. I preached all over East Texas and North Texas and then on over, eventually spread on over the United States. But anyway, the healing revival began in 1947. And I tell you, there are tents everywhere. Big tents, little tents, middle-sized tents. You know, everywhere I went, every meeting. Now think about it. And I'm preaching constantly over a 13-year period. Every meeting. Never missed a one of them. But what somebody either stood up and prophesied that I should get a tent. Or they wrote me a note. The Lord told me to tell you to get a tent. I'd have 2, 3, 4, or 5 every single week. You multiply that by about 50 weeks. And that'll give you, what, 200 and some odd? You multiply that by 13 years, and you'll have 1,000 or 2 or 3. And every one of them was wrong. Not God didn't single one of them. I ain't got no tent. I ain't going to get no tent. I don't want any tent. I never did want a tent. Never was the will of God for me to get a tent. But they prophesied that I should. Wouldn't have been in a mess if I'd got me a tent. Well, you can have them tents. I know I did preach 2 meetings in a tent. One pastor rented, Brother Tipton had a tent. He'd put it up a lot of times, you know, all the summer. But this neighbor pastor rented it and just asked me to come. All I am is just the guest speaker. Thank God I didn't have to fool to put the thing up. Tear it down. The storm comes along and blows it down. Oh, brother. Brother, 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 you better be sure God told you before you get a tent. But now why didn't I listen? Isn't God speaking? No. Good people, bless their heart, just sat there and imagined he ought to have a tent because everybody else nearly got one. Imagination run away with them. Don't mean there's backslid, not Christians. Now why didn't I get a tent? I preached a youth rally at a church the first Monday night of January of 1949. By the middle of the next month, I'm holding a meeting for Brother Tipton in Saxon, Texas. And God moved in a spectacular, supernatural way in that service. And the pastor of the church got up and prophesied, said before, never prophesied before. He prophesied concerning me that God had called me and so on, a number of things. And the leading official of the section got up and said, now my brother, in the early days of Pentecostal movement, was called a prophet. The Bible said, let the prophet judge. I'm going to ask him to judge. He looked to him. He said, it's God. Then he called all of the board together and said, let's lay hands on Brother Hagin and send him out like they did in Acts the 13th chapter. while their hands up on me and they're praying, this official's wife was afflicted. The Lord, with sickness, the Lord said to me while they're praying, call her up here and lay hands on her and I'll heal her. And I spoke it out loud then. I'll heal her. And this is a sign to you, a sign to them, to this official board, a sign to the congregation that I've laid my hand upon you and called her, Sister Miss. So I called her out. She is healed instantly. Healed instantly. But that same night, the Lord said to me, stay in the churches. Well, I've already heard from heaven. See, stay in the churches. So I stayed in the churches. Amen. Like I said, except two tent meetings, one auditorium meeting over a 13-year period. And in January of 1963, now, see, 14 years, that would be the 14th year, 63. I was in a meeting in Houston, and this would happen occasionally with me. A spirit of prayer fell on the congregation right in the middle of my sermon. Nobody told them, but everybody hit the floor. I look back across the congregation, everybody's kneeling, not anybody sitting on a pew. Some were kneeling around the altar. I said, well, I guess I better pray. So I walked down off of the platform, knelt by the end of the altar, and began to pray. While I'm praying, I had a visitation from God. A lot of it has to do with what am I doing now. And he said for me to change my course, to go a different direction. And I did it. Hallelujah. Amen. And in more recent time, the Lord told me to change my course again, have Holy Ghost meetings. And we're having them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, thank God for guidance. Amen. Well, now then, we see, real quickly now, we see also, I want to deal with it just briefly, from the Word of God, that sometimes people receive guidance through visions. Now, you see, these things are not the ordinary. May happen or may not happen. The ordinary, the way, the main, the primary way that God leads all of His children is through the inward witness. But you know in Acts the 10th chapter, here's a man by the name of Cornelius, a centurion. He's a Jewish proselyte. He's walking all the light he has, but he's not a Christian. Devout man. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God appeared to him. Told him, you know, to send men to Joppa and inquire for one named Simon. Peter, you know, when he has come, he'll show thee or tell thee words where thou and thy house shall be saved. Well, you know also that same chapter that Peter went out on the housetop to pray and fell into a trance. And he had a vision. You know the story. God said to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Nothing unclean's ever in my mouth. Don't you call unclean that which I've cleansed. See, he's about to bring the Gentiles in. The Jews called them unclean. But don't you call unclean that which I've cleansed. And so sometimes he does. I said sometimes he does guide and receive guidance even through a vision. But like I said, he spoke to me a number of times, but I wasn't seeking them. And I didn't ask him for it. You need to understand that there are three kinds of visions. Remember another lesson I told you I'd tell you about it? Three kinds of vision. There's first what we call a spiritual vision. You see with the eyes of your spirit, not with your physical eyes. Now when Paul saw the Lord in the ninth chapter of Acts, you could turn there if you want to and follow me for just a moment. That was a spiritual vision. He didn't see him with his physical eyes because the Bible said, notice Acts 9:8, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. So he had his eyes shut when he saw Jesus, and Jesus appeared to him, didn't he? That was a spiritual vision. And when his eyes were open, he was blind. When the Lord spoke to him, his eyes were shut. Now, the second type of vision is when you fall into a trance. Now, see, Cornelius didn't fall into a trance. He just saw that angel in his house. But Peter went out on the housetop to pray and fell into a trance. The Greek literally says he fell over bodily. A few times I've fallen into a trance. Your physical senses are momentarily suspended. You don't know where you are. You're not unconscious. But you see what God wants you to see, and I can tell you another thing, don't have time to go into it. The third type of vision is what we call an open vision. That's where you actually see with your physical eyes open. Now, all the visions that I've had, only two out of them have been open visions. I told you about there in February 1959 when Jesus came to my room. My eyes were open. I saw him, to me, just as real as you, some man walking into the room. Now, the open vision is the highest type of vision. Thank God for all of them. Amen. The Bible calls the appearance of an angel to Cornelius a vision, so he had to see him. The Bible tells us that Peter fell into a trance and he saw heaven open. Hallelujah. The Bible said Peter thought on the vision. Well, there were three different types of visions in those days. There are three types of visions today, still the same. Notice that the angel could not tell Cornelius how to get saved. Men preach the gospel, not angels. God never ordained that angels should preach the gospel. They can't. Men must preach the gospel. All the angel could do was to tell him to where to go to get someone that could tell him. Secondly, notice that Philip's vision was symbolic. What he saw was a symbol of something. He didn't know immediately what it meant. He had to think on it. The scripture said in the 19th verse of that 10th chapter, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Notice, the Spirit said to him. Holy Ghost spoke to him. Told him to go with them, doubting nothing. Hallelujah. Now later on, the Word of God said, or again, the Word of God said in the 8th chapter of Acts, that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, angel said to Philip, go arise and go toward the south. Go down, you know, into Gaza. And you know about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. We read about other visions. You remember, the Word of God said there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire for such and such a house for Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now see, Ananias wasn't a prophet, wasn't an apostle, wasn't an evangelist, wasn't a pastor, wasn't a teacher. He is a layman. There's a certain disciple. The Greek word translated disciple means a learner, a follower, a student. We'd call him a layman. Yet Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said to him, amen, hallelujah, go lay hands on Saul. He's praying, and Saul's had another vision. Now, he's seen a man by the name Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him. Can you say amen? Things like that ought to be happening today. Thank God they are. Hallelujah. And I expect in these days of Holy Ghost revival for more of it being happening. Now I'll close with this illustration. Stand up. You've been seated a long time. You need to change your position. Sorry we don't have any more time. But I was conducting a meeting in 1963 in Houston, Texas. One little church, actually a small church, didn't run 200 or 300. I was there 8 weeks, two services a day, Monday through Friday, and then of course Sunday services. One of those weeks I said to the people, let's just pray. We're not going to have any Bible lesson. If you're not going to pray at least an hour, then don't come. I thought that'd thin them out. It didn't. The crowd increased. We're not going to have any music. We're not going to make any announcements unless it's necessary. It might be necessary to say a few words. It might be necessary to direct our praying a certain direction. We're going to spend the hour in prayer. We did that. Crowd just held up. Like I said, even grew. And we're having a time every night. Don't come if you're not going to pray at least an hour. Well, one night I'm leaning here on the platform of praying. And I've been praying the biggest part of the hour in other tongues. I just got a word that day from my wife that my sister, only sister, they discovered she had cancer. And doctors didn't give any hope. So I'm praying about her. I'm praying about my ministry and some things that we needed to do. And suddenly I looked up. My eyes are wide open. There stood Jesus. That was an open vision. There stood Jesus. He stands about 5'11" or 6 feet tall. Weigh about 185 pounds. And right beside Jesus to his side, probably a couple of feet, and then back about 3 feet. See, he's standing there. Here stood an angel. Now, Jesus, like I said, about 5 feet, 11, 6 feet tall. We're on the platform, and it wasn't this large auditorium, so the platform, the ceiling wasn't too high. This angel's head was right up against the ceiling. Man, he's a big fellow. He must have been 9 feet tall. Maybe 10 or 11, I don't know, somewhere in that vicinity. Jesus said to me, told me about two things that I was praying about. One of them was my sister. Jesus said to me, now, between what I will do and the doctors will do, she'll have 5 more years. She did. And she could, if she'd have done the right thing, some things, lived longer. Then he talked to me about the other thing. Now, while he's talking, occasionally I'd glance up at that angel. And when I'd look at him, he'd open his mouth like he was going to say something, and I'd look back to Jesus, and he'd shut his mouth and wouldn't say anything. So Jesus answered two of my questions, or the things I was praying about, himself, and then stopped. And I said to him, who is that fella? He said, that's your angel. I said, my angel? Yeah, your angel. Have I got an angel? He said, didn't you ever read in my word where they brought little children to me to bless them? And one of the gospels, I said, their angel is ever before my Father's face. He said, you don't lose your angel just because you grow up. Well, why would you? Well, I said, what does he want? He said, he has a message for you from Almighty God. Now, I said, you know me, I'm a stickler for the word. Word didn't say anything about as many as are led by angels. They're the Spirit, you know, it's by the Spirit of God. Besides that, you were talking to me. Why couldn't you tell me? Why would an angel have to tell me? You think that bothered you? He smiled so sweetly. And again, I told him the same thing. You're going to have to give me at least 3 witnesses. And in the New Testament. He said, didn't you ever read my word? Where the angel of the Lord came down and took hold of Peter, you know, they already beheaded John and delivered him from prison. Yeah, I said, that's right. He said, didn't you ever read where an angel told Philip to go down in the way of Gaza? And that Ethiopian eunuch, he said, didn't that angel give him direction? I said, yeah, it sure did. He said, didn't you ever read where an angel, the Lord, I myself appeared, you see, to Ananias and told him to go lay hands on. And then over the next chapter, an angel appeared to Cornelius, didn't he? Told him where to send someone to get saved. And on board the ship, when Paul was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, all hope that they should be saved was gone. All the merchandise had been thrown overboard. Paul suddenly stood forth in the midst and said, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve has stood by me this night. Woo, glory. The Lord said to me, didn't Paul give them direction? Did that angel give Paul directions? Tell him what to do? I said, oh God, forgive me. I claim to be such a word preacher. Don't even know what to say. Amen. You're in the same boat. Amen. I said, amen. So then I looked to the angel. When I looked at him and kept my gaze upon him, he opened his mouth and said, I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. Now, I'll have to preface so you can understand what he's saying. We ministries are growing a little bit. We operate out of a den and garage. And we're thinking about an office. A man came to me one day out of that church in that city, a businessman, said, Brother Hagin, I'm a representative, mentioned 2 other businessmen who were in their business and couldn't come, but he could. He showed me some offices. He said, we 3 businessmen, if you'll move your offices to Houston, we'll lease these offices. They'll be yours. Won't cost you a penny. We'll fill both offices with office furniture. We'll hire 2 secretaries. We pay their salaries. Don't cost you a penny. All you got to do is just move your offices here. Boy, we were praying about that. That's one thing I was praying about that night. You know, where to go, what to do. Don't that sound good, though? You don't think then that must be God. Don't cost you a penny. Then another man had come to me. You know, we had those reel-to-reel tapes then. He said, I've got all the latest equipment, best there is, because he worked for one of the best companies in America. Now he said, if you'll let me, I'll reproduce all the tapes, I'll furnish the tapes, the reel, everything. Won't cost you a penny. You'll just have, all will be 100% clear. Well, don't that sound good? I was already thinking and prone to go that direction, but I'm still seeking God on me. So the angel said, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you not, and call those three men's names. Not to go that direction, because their motives of ulterior, they'll get you into their grasp and then they'll control the ministry. I want you to be the head of it. And then I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you not to let so-and-so reproduce your tapes, for his motives also are ulterior. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, and thank God for angels, and thank God for guidance. Now he said to me, within 4 months, you'll have so many thousands of dollars. Sure big for me in those days. And I want you to set up your own offices so that through you, the Holy Ghost through you and I can run it. We're doing around here what Jesus said do, not what I want to do or man said. Are you listening to me? Some folks said to me, I've had friends come by, years, friends of long years ago, look over the campus and everything, my, my, my. Wonderful what you done. I've done a thing. All I've done is run and try to keep up with it. Glory to God. Just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We started to build this building. Drawed up some plans. I told Aretha we was out of the meeting. I don't feel right in my spirit about that. The original plan I'm talking about. I said, Ken's got the Holy Ghost just like I have. Talk to him. I put him over to run it. Ken contacted me and said, Daddy, how's your shaving? Didn't feel right. And she had that inward witness. Said, something's not right about that. I said, that's right. Every single time, he's picked up on it. I never said a word to him about some other things. Worked 100 times out of 100. Because he got the same spirit I got. Same Holy Ghost. You can talk to him. Hallelujah. I didn't talk to him. Didn't have to. Holy Ghost did. Say it out loud. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. So in 4 months, you'll have so many thousands of dollars. Set up your own office. Amen. And that 4 months came, just like he said, I had $15 over. See, he just gave me the round figure. I had $15 over. And off we go. Hallelujah. You out there? Have you got anything at all out of any of this? Now, we could stay a month and still teach along these lines, but we want to hit some high spots and get over certain ground, certain amount too. Hallelujah. Say it again out loud. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Now, be seated just a moment. Are those ministers still here from Singapore? Stand up if you are. Amen. Praise God. Anybody see him anywhere? Amen. Well, come down here after to see me right down here. Amen. Especially Brother Joseph Prince, I believe, senior pastor. Amen. Then Doc Horton, stand up. All you Rhema graduates know Doc. He's taught here at school 13 and a half years. Amen. Well, he's out on the field now in full ministry. He's open for calls. And more ministers that are here are not Rhema graduates than are. I think about 60% or something like that. 70% of the ministers here are not Rhema graduates. You may not know Doc, but he taught here for 13 and a half years at Rhema. Retired from teaching, but not from the ministry. Well, you just take my word, have him, he'll bless you. He'll be down here. Come down here and you can talk to him. Praise God. Anything else you want me to say, Doc? I'm just joking. He never said a word about it. I just thought that up all by myself. I never even had a witness of the Spirit on it. I just thought it up myself. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand again and be dismissed. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Yeah.
How many of you are glad you came?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are going back another way? You know what I mean by that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're almost there. So what do you mean we're almost there? I mean in the real move of the Spirit of God. We're almost there. We've gotten the edges of it. But we're almost there. The rain will fall. Hallelujah. The wind will blow. For rain and wind are type of the Spirit, you know. Hallelujah. The glory of God will be made manifest. The gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. Physical demonstrations anointed and initiated by the Holy Ghost. Men's hearts will be turned toward the Lord. Many will shake their heads and say, that couldn't be so, and walk away, dry up and disappear. But others will come and be blessed. And the joy of the Lord will fill your life, spirit, soul, and body. Ha 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 ha. The hearts of the saints will be gladdened. The work of the Lord will be done. The plan of God shall be consummated. The church shall be edified. And the end shall come. And great joy and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now turn, take your neighbor by the hand as you're dismissed. Say, I'm not a doubter, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. You're dismissed.